I hope to divide the time with another brother, so be ready. Get your sword out of its sheath. There are three things that happen when you get old. The first one is forgetfulness. I forget what the other two are. The first conference I was ever at in Northern Ireland, our brother got up and read from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and he read about Jabez, or Jabez. We call him Jabez anyway. I don't remember anything that he said about it, but since that, I've looked at it a number of times, and there are wonderful truths in connection with the prayer of Jabez. Another thing I would like to say, this afternoon I mentioned about a young lady and her prayers, and she said, it always happens to me. Now I have to qualify this because the brother thought she always left her wallet at home and her driver's license, no money. I said, no, no, no. She always brought simple things to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Don't we sing that? So, we bring everything to God in prayer, the small things, the great things. God is interested in every detail of our lives. When I was in high school, I remember a young man, he was a Christian, I wasn't a Christian, and the science teacher brought him up to the front. He wanted him to work out a problem on the chalkboard. Well, I saw his lips moving. He was asking God for help. So that's what happens, you know, the simple things. God is interested in your work at school, university, your business, your home life. Bring everything to God in prayer. Live your life as if in the presence of God. One of my unsaved son one day says, Dad, what was that you were saying? Well, I wasn't talking to him. I was walking along the hallway in the basement. Talking to God. I wouldn't say that. I'm not trying to say this is, you know, what you've got to do around talking to yourself. Because that's the first sign of insanity. Although another brother said, you have to talk to somebody intelligent once in a while. Anyway, let's read the scriptures and I'll leave lots of time. Chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles and verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, well, in our day this would be calling on our father. Here were a people in relationship with the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now Jabez was not a Moses, he was not an Elijah, he was not a Joshua, he wasn't a David, but he was a remarkable man. Not because of what he did, but because of what he was. God is more interested in his work in us than his work through us. God does not intend that everyone should be public. Well, our sisters sometimes are in public, but most of their work is in private. The Lord Jesus Christ pleased God in his ways, in his works, and in his words. For 30 years he was in Nazareth, he obtained favor with God and men. Nazareth was the place that God had chosen him for him to be brought up with Joseph and Mary. and his brethren. But God's eye was upon him. Mr. E.W. Rogers, a well-known English servant of the Lord, a minister of the Word, I heard him say this in connection with that. When God opened up the heavens, he said, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with his home life." What kind of a husband are you? What kind of a wife are you to your husband? What kind of a son and daughter are you to your parents? What kind of a father are you? What kind of a mother are you? When no eye is upon you, but God's eye, you never wrote a miracle, never preached a sermon. The first miracle he did was turn water into wine. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Before a life can be a power for God, it must be a pleasure to God. We may never preach or teach, but character is what counts with God. Our character will determine our place in the kingdom. The disciples said, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus took a little child and put that child in the midst. "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Who is greatest in the kingdom? Those who have a childlike spirit. Those who are characterized by humility. Jesus said, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many." I'm sure many of you have ambitions. Nothing wrong with that. Mr. Parsons of London, he was a high official in the British Admiralty, and the professor in the university told him to aim for 100% until he got a nickname, "Old 100%er." Well, 100% at school, but 100% for God. Nothing less than 100%. The Lord pleased God in his works. John 12, he said, "Father, glorify thy name." And the answer came back, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." John 17, he pleased God in his words. "Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So his character was stable and consistent. He could be depended on. It was what God thought of him. Although Romans 14, it says, "He that doeth these things is well-pleasing to God and approved of men." I used to wonder about approved of men. When the neighbor next door doesn't really approve of you being a Christian. But what the idea is, you have to say, well, he's genuine. He says he's a Christian, he's genuine. I was in the sales business for a while, and one of the customers came in one time, he happened to be a Christian, and he lost his temper with one of the salesmen. And one of the other salesmen said to me, "John, there's another of your good living ones for you." That's sad. They know what to expect. They're watching us. Our neighbors know what we stand for, how we live, All they know about God is what they know about us, what they see in us. Ambition. The word occurs three times in the New Testament. The first time we read of it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul had an ambition to be well-pleasing to God. It's the word liver. Now, the word ambition doesn't occur in the English. There are three different English words for the one word, which is ambition. What is our aim? Paul says, my aim, my ambition is, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God. The second occurrence is, for young men, perhaps better here, Romans 11, but let's read 2 Corinthians, not the first reference, Romans 15 and verse 20. I strive to preach the gospel where Christ is not named. An ambitious pioneer to preach the gospel. I was listening to a tape. Now, this young man is not in the assemblies. Just recently, my brother sent it to me from Ireland. He felt exercised to go to the south of Ireland, to a Roman Catholic town, 14 years ago, and he went into a little place where about 50 people, half of them weren't Christians. The city of Kilkenny is 99% Catholic. Today there are 300 Roman Catholics, converted Roman Catholics, in that place where he ministers. When they do, he said, it's not because of my preaching or my godliness. We searched it out, and there were two brethren. I mentioned this to Gordon, and he doesn't want to wait for 50 years. Darlene as well. They searched it out and found there were two brethren had prayed for 50 years that God would pour out his blessing on the city of Kilkenny in the south of Ireland. So God is able. And God does nothing but in answer to prayer. So what's the secret of blessing? Prayer. And Jabez prayed. His prayer, now, if I'm going to get through this, you see four things about, he made four specific requests. Sometimes our prayers are too lengthy, and I'm probably guilty. This came up in the Bible reading in Kamloops. The Bible reading, Brian was there. It was on prayer. And it came up about some of the brethren praying long prayers. And then I've heard another brother back in Wisconsin say, really, we couldn't. He's eaten up everything. He said if you were to pray for 10 hours, you couldn't eat up anything, everything. There's so much to pray for. And he said you could also pray for the brother who prays a long prayer. So anyway, after the breaking of bread, after the conference, a young man, unsaved, a lovely young teenager, he came up to me, Mr. Abernethy, remember the conference about prayer? He was rebuking me because I probably was guilty of what we were talking about. Long prayers. So, when Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, he uses three whats. That you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, what is the exceeding riches of his glory, and so forth. And when it comes to Ephesians 3, I'm going to read it because I'll misquote it. He uses four thats. Don't search it, because I'll not wait for you. I'm going to encourage us all to have definite items to pray for, and all right. Paul prays, he bows his knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his spirit, might by his spirit in the inner man, that, and the word that is the word henna in Greek, in order that certain things, as our brother has pointed out, have to take place before other things happen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That, in order that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, in order that you might know, or that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And Paul, in Romans 15, he prayed for that. Here they are. That I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Number one. Number two, that my service might be accepted of the saints. Number two. Number three, that I may come to you with joy. Number four. And may with you be refreshed. Number four. For that. That's simple. It's an amazing thing, you know, at the prayer meeting before the gospel, every one of the brethren took part. And sometimes at the breaking of bread, there may be 5 or 6 minutes. And the sisters would like to get up then. Spaces. Sometimes they're barren. So, it doesn't take very much. Now there are four specific requests about, first of all, about grace, about growth, about guidance, about godliness, about grace. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. We have received the grace of God. And if you're not saved tonight, you can receive the grace of God. It's because by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He received the grace of God. And we have grace to continue in all experiences. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. He was really in earnest in his prayer. He wanted God's blessing. Well, God's blessing for him was to receive more of the inheritance. And, of course, our prayer should be that we may appreciate and appropriate possessions. That he would enlarge my coast. We need to pray for ability to apprehend them. There's much to keep us from enjoying the inheritance today. The devil has seen to it that we're occupied with so many things, legitimate and illegitimate. And many give more time to the things that are not legitimate. And even if they are legitimate, they take time that should be given to the Word of God that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guidance. We need that, don't we? Every day. And that thy hand might be with me. So that is what gives power. God's hand with us. Do you remember what we read in the book of Acts? The hand of the Lord was with them. So if the hand of the Lord is with the saints here in Squamish and in our individual lives, then there will be blessing, godliness, and that thou wouldst keep me from the evil, that it may not pain or grieve me. Didn't the disciples were asked to pray, deliver us from evil? And we are the ones that are grieved whenever we sin. I read something a while ago, and here, regarding victory over sin, our brother would mind me underlining it. First of all, we're to analyze the pattern of weak moments. That's when the devil can hit us. That's when the devil hit death. We're to anticipate temptation and avoid it. Doesn't the proverb say, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, whatever that temptation or difficulty is, avoid it. If an alcoholic has a problem with the bar, well, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. Deliverance. Accurately identify the sin. David said, my sin, my iniquity, my transgression. Remember, we are accountable to God. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned. And then our brothers and sisters acknowledge sin. The sinner is not asked to confess his sin, right? A sinner has to come and acknowledge, I'm a sinner. You couldn't possibly remember all your sins. But the believer, as our brothers ably pointed out, has to confess his sin. If we confess our sins, we know what they are. David identified it accurately. And he acknowledged it to God. And then, of course, another way of victory is to allow extra time for prayer and study of God's Word. And I have another little idea. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Quickly, I keep my promise. First of all, it's a prayer to God. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel. In Acts 12, the assembly prayed for Peter. A prayer was made unto God for him. There has to be a conscious knowledge that we're in the presence of God. Saul of Tarsus, he was upright, he was religious, he said prayers, but when Ananias was told to go by the Lord to Saul of Tarsus, he said, behold, he prayeth. That was the difference. There are men who, and women who say prayers, but it's only a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who can be and pray. It's a passionate prayer. Same as Jacob. Fervent as Elijah. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Indeed. Be conscious that you're in the presence of God. Just be silent to know that you're really talking to God. Your Father. And put your heart into it. It's provision. Well, this is what the margin says. If thou wilt bless me indeed. Every prayer is conditional. You know what the Lord himself prayed? If thou art willing, let this cup pass from me. We cannot demand blessing. And then it's positive. If thou wilt bless me indeed, in truth, and it's pointed. You made definite petitions that we mentioned. And the best thing of all, it was a prevailing prayer. I went to visit my father-in-law in hospital last night. And he's 93 and he's had a stroke and he can't speak and he's paralyzed on the right side. And I know he's feeling just his condition. said, Dad, I'm going to read you a psalm. Psalm 34. And this is David. And David certainly was not in the best condition. Just before this, he told four lies in succession. And then he goes away down to Abimelech. And he feigns madness. But in his extremity, it's very encouraging. In his extremity, he sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I said, Dad, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him in heaven. And he saved him out of all his troubles. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. And his fears, his ears are open unto their cry. I said, Dad, this, my wife's father, it's not my dad, but it's always been dad to me. For 38 years it's been dad. Dad, we owe so much to your prayers. Every day, mentions all the family. The daughters, sons, grandchildren. Do you think God's going to forsake you now? No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. What a comfort the word of God is. God hears and God answers our prayers. Blessed be God who does not turn his ear away from our prayers. God looked down at Jabez and he granted him that which he requested. May God bless his word.
Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed.